Hello, and welcome back to Cavancast. I am back from Download Festival, aka the Burning Fields of Donington, because holy hell, was that place sunny. I have never felt like I've bonded with the sun that well before, but man, we got close. We got cozy. We're like best buds now, after the amount of time it spent staring into my soul from the heavens. Great guy. Great guy, really. Kind of intense. Kind of intense to be around, but we got along for the most part. There was just nowhere to hide from him. You know, when he was in one of his moods, when he was like letting everybody know that he was there, there was just, you couldn't get away. But I do have a nice tan from the situation, so there's that. There is that. But yeah, Download could definitely do with the software update that the UK is so badly in need of. Air conditioning, mainly. Air conditioning and just shade and just better equipped things. Where did I had a really disappointing moment where I walked into a supermarket on a really hot day thinking it was going to be, you know, that really, it's like 1/8 of like an orgasm where you, you know what I mean? On a really hot day when you walk into a supermarket or a shop and you get that blast of cool air as you walk in, that is like 1/8 of an orgasm, right? It must be that. And if you sneeze as well, like, that it's, yeah, you're on your way. But anyway, yeah, more air conditioning, please, UK. Aside from it taking about, you know, 3 years to get into the festival, the burning hot sun and the fact that it was way, way oversold, I don't really have too many complaints about Download. Honestly, though, we left at about midday and like to get to the festival, and instead of it taking an hour and 20 minutes like it was supposed to, it took, carry the one, 10 hours of being stuck in traffic to get there. Because instead of giving tens of thousands of people 2 days to get in like they normally do, they just thought, nah, they can do it in one. They'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It wasn't fine. It was so bad that at one point, me and my pal just got out of the van and just started playing badminton. And we were very, very bad at it, so... At least we gave the other festival goers in their cars some light entertainment for the afternoon. There is that, I guess. We had like no food as well at that point, except what did we have? I had a packet of crisps, ready salted crisps. So I kept my salt intake high, and a tin of those, you know those hot dogs that are barely hot dogs? Like, you don't even know if they're actually meat or not. They come in a can, in brine, you know. That's what, me and my friend were talking about this. That's why we reckon vegan nuggets and stuff like that are, I think, so believable as meat tasting. Meat tasting in, you know, very strong quotation marks, because the real nuggets themselves are likely to have a very questionable amount of meat in them anyway. So they're very close to being the same thing, which is all hypothetical because I don't want to get myself done for slander. Don't want to be friggin' Ned Slanders over here. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But yeah, once we got there, after intending to be in the campsite by between 1 and 2 p.m. and instead getting set up by 1 to 2 a.m., after traversing every terrain out there, grass, rocks, water, mountains, the desert, all of the above, all with about 20 kilos of stuff on us each. Yeah, when we got there, we were sufficiently pooped. And the utter hatred in me for everyone walking past me with their trolleys and their smug prick faces, I think that's what gave me the fuel to push on and find somewhere to set up camp. That was the rocket fuel I needed. I might be projecting a little bit there, but we made it, and you know, we hadn't killed each other. So that was a win. That was a win. And it was really nice. It was really good to be back at a festival again, surrounded by people who love that music again. It was lovely. It was lovely. They also had this water called Liquid Death, which came in a can that looked like the most hardcore beer you've ever drunk in your life. But it was completely like 100p water. It was refreshing. It was a very good target demographic there. It was a very metal can of water, which is a double entendre because it was a metal can of water, but it was also a very metal can of water. You know what I mean? I went on a Ferris wheel as well. That was good. Oh my God, if you ever have the chance to go on a Ferris wheel at a festival, do it. It's wonderful. It really is. You see the whole festival. You see everybody looks like ants from up there. It was really cool experiencing that atmosphere from up that high. So yeah, that was good. That was good. What else has happened? I saved a mouse last night. I was staying at a friend's and their cats love to bring in mice. And so one of the two cats must have brought this mouse in earlier in the day, and it must have managed to escape somehow, because at about 2 a.m. this morning, I felt what I initially thought was the biggest spider ever crawl down my arm as I was trying to get to sleep. And for some reason, I did not freak out. I don't know why. I mean, I'm fine with spiders, but when you feel that much weight crawling down your arm while you're trying to sleep, your mind goes, there's a line, buddy. There's a line. And I think this is crossing it. But yeah, I proceeded to spend the next hour and a half trying to catch this little guy. Because I don't know if you know this, mice are quick, bruh. And it turns out I'm not as anime protagonist quick as I thought, as I was when I was 15. So I have to work on that a little bit. I need to work on my... You get me? You know what I'm talking about? Good. Agility. Agility. But anyway, I caught him in this little box eventually after much blood, sweat, and tears, because it was very hot, and I stubbed my toe. Fun fact as well, if you catch a mouse, you have to put them pretty far away, otherwise they just make their way back like nothing happened. So I forgot about this fact until I was outside in my pants. Nothing else. No shoes. No socks. Belly button out. Thighs out. Just my pants. And here is something about the world that is now a normal thing that has totally bypassed me in the last couple of years. Everybody, apparently, has a Ring doorbell now. And what do Ring doorbells do? Record everything when someone is near them. So after setting my new little pal free and going back to bed and waking up in the morning, imagine my surprise when my friend asked me, what were you doing in your pants with a box at 3 a.m? Now, despite having done literally nothing wrong, that sentence makes you feel like you've done something wrong. The same feeling is like when you drive past a police car when you haven't committed a crime. You think, oh my God, please don't notice me doing absolutely nothing. Please don't arrest me for no crime. Like, that's the feeling you get. So for some reason, when she asked this, I went very red in the face when I told her I was saving a mouse. To be fair, she did have quite a quizzical look on her face, but she didn't seem too worried, as because she also had the type of look on her face that suggested that this was also quite a normal thing for me to be doing. And she knows me quite well enough to kind of accept that that might be my behavior sometimes. You got to keep good people around you, guys. You got to keep people who support you in your decisions of, you know, going out in your pants at 3 a.m. I don't know if I should be worried about that. I'm worried about the fact that I do give off the aura of the type of guy who goes out on an adventure in his pants at 3 a.m. But I would prefer that to being a mouse murderer, honestly. So I'm standing my ground. I am standing my ground. So, if you haven't listened to the podcast before, this is how it works. I talk for a little bit about my life, which I have just done, and then I use a random word generator to generate 5 random words, and then I talk about them with whatever comes to mind while you, lovely, lovely person on the other end, do whatever you would like to do, really. There's no pressure. You can be lying down. You could be walking. You could be sat cross-legged. You could be at a festival. To anyone who did come up to me at Download and say hello, hello again. Thank you for coming and saying hello. It was nice to see you. Yeah, or you might be in the bath, in bed, out for a walk, trying to catch a mouse. There is no limit. The limit does not exist. But while you do whatever you're doing, I'm going to crack on. And the first word of today is loaf. And when that word leaves my lips, or if I ever hear it, my mind just comes alive with memories that tingle pretty much every one of my senses. When I hear loaf, I think of the freshest, warmest, thickest, most goldenest loaf of freshly baked bread you've ever experienced. My eyes see the beautiful golden color. My nose is overwhelmed by the scent of peace and that everything is going to be all right. I genuinely think if serotonin had a smell, it would be freshly baked bread right out of the oven. My fingers tremble at the delight of feeling the perfect crispy crust. But then the fluffiness and the warmth and the softness of the what is the middle part of the bread called? What is the bread part of the bread? What is it? I'm going to have to Google it. Sorry to ruin the flow. The crumb. Oh, I did not know that. The soft inner part of the bread is known to bakers and other culinary professionals as the crumb, which is not to be confused with small bits of bread that often fall off called Crumbs. So yeah, that. I hear the orchestra of crunch and crisp as you slice through or pull apart this wondrous creation. And then just the taste of what I imagine heaven is really like. So all in all, loaf is a very good word. And weirdly, like, despite being such a fan of it, I've never actually baked my own bread. I made a lemon drizzle cake the other day, but that's not quite the same, is it? Or, bro, hot tip, if you're making lemmy drizz, put in more lemon than you think you need. And then put in a bit more, because I put in what I thought was too much, and it was not enough. So douse that boy. You hear me? For real. I'm thinking about the earliest bread that was ever made, and it's kind of blowing my mind that supposedly the first bread was made in around 8,000 BC. There are a few different opinions on whether it actually was then, but it was definitely at least then, maybe further back. And I've been thinking to myself, there's no way that this can be true. That doesn't make sense, until I realized that people weren't out there making like like friggin' Hovis loaves in the Stone Age. Like the great, 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 great grandfather of Mr. Warburton. Like, this good, this loaf good. We do this more. We make company, make bread. So the earliest bread was made in Egypt with a grinding tool known as a quern, which would be used to crush grain, mix it with water, and then they'd leave it out in the sun, because I don't know if you know this, but Egypt is quite hot, and they would end up with an early form of pretty much what we would call tortillas today, or chapatis, that Indian style of bread. It's gorgeous. So centuries and centuries pass, the Persians invent milling in 600 BC, and then in 450 BC, the Romans invent water milling, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, this flatter style of bread that I just spoke about, that's known as unleavened bread. And leavened bread is what you get when you add some kind of a raising agent, like yeast, or, you know, nowadays it's stuff like baking soda, and that's where you get your fat loaves from. But here is where the whole thing gets kind of interesting. In the Old Testament of the Bible, specifically Exodus, it says the Jews were commanded to eat unleavened bread in the observation of the Passover, and only eat unleavened bread. In fact, no leavening agents were to be found anywhere in their houses during this time. And this is explained in, I'm not very good at the Bible, so this is kind of what I'm getting from this. So in Mark 8:15 and Corinthians 5:6, it says, Jesus and his apostles described sin as leaven. This is because just a little sin into our lives or into the church allows it to spread throughout our whole life or the whole church. So leaven is like, you know, symbolic for just a tiny bit being able to spread and make this sin grow. And now this whole fact is making me wonder if I'm just a total piece of shit because I like thick loaves so much. Can you imagine, like, what if when I die and end up at the pearly gates, if they are a thing, and I'm like, oh, hey, man, what's up? I died. Am I good to go? And St. Peter is like, ah, bro, sorry, no can doozy. And I'm like, why, bro? And he's like, bro, do you even know how many sandwiches you ate, bro? And I'm like, bro, for real? And he's like, sorry, bro. I have no idea why in my head getting into heaven is like getting into a frat party. If there was ever any place that would be full of what we know as sin, it's going to be a frat party. It's probably one of the worst examples I could use. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah, well, we're Omega Sci-Fi, bro, so... till we die. Let's go! Woo. That's Shaquille O'Neal's fraternity, and I think it's the only one I know, apparently. Because I'm British. Anyway, enough loafing around. We're going to move on. The next word is library. We'll continuing the theme of things that happened back in the day. I was having a conversation a while ago about the Lost Library of Alexandria, which is the city in Egypt, not to be confused with the Turkish city Alexandretta, the location of the Holy Grail, according to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which I watched yesterday, and it really holds up. I actually haven't watched it since I was a kid, and I've been going through a really weird phase recently with my now newly developed adult brain. Well, sort of. But I'll rewatch these films that I watched loads as a kid, and they seem like totally different films. Has anyone else ever had that? Like, my idea of people and the world is so different now that I just see the whole thing very differently. That sounds pretty like a pretty normal and obvious thing to happen, but it is kind of a weird experience going back and watching those movies. Also, those two places do have a connection, because Alexandretta was known as Little Alexandria for a long time, hence Alexandretta, because the use of the suffix et or etta is, it means the smaller form of something, like cigarette or kitchenette. Yeah. Anyway, Alexandria is the second largest city in Egypt. Egypt, founded in 331 BC by Alexander the Great, which someone pointed out the other day that we remember these people with those names as just that, but they're not their actual names. Like, Alexander the Great, his name wasn't Alexander the Great. He's just Al. Alexander the Great is just Al. Like, let's humble these people a bit. Alexander the Great, Al. Ali, maybe. William the Conqueror, Bill. Catherine the Great, Katie. Let's tone down the ego a bit. Okay, guys, you're not that special. You just chill. Eat a slice of humble pie. Okay, so this is interesting. I was about to go on this whole thing about how in 48 BC, Julius Caesar, or Julie, was responsible for burning down the Library of Alexandria, which contained over 700,000 scrolls, and inevitably led to the hindrance of civilizations progressing for hundreds of years, hence the Lost Library of Alexandria. But apparently, after fact-checking, that is total bollocks. Apparently, no one had really been using it at all, so it kind of, like, it was just full of useless information. Ancient history buff Garrett Ryan explained that the Library of Alexandria might have been the most impressive intellectual repository in the ancient world, but it was hardly the only one. Most of the works in its collection, Ryan explains, would have also been held by other libraries, although they would also decline along with the general interest of classical culture. Although there were certainly many works of mathematics and physics, The most important of these were widely disseminated elsewhere. What perished with the library were overwhelmingly lesser-known works of literature and philosophy, commentaries and monographs, all the residue and introspection of an extremely sophisticated library culture. So the nerdy stuff, basically. To scholars of ancient literature, of course, such a loss is incalculable. And in our own culture today, we will still do well to hold up the Library of Alexandria as an image of what it is to amass human knowledge, as well as what it is to let that knowledge decay. So it's a sad thing, but according to Garrett Ryan and probably a few other people, civilizations and society wasn't hindered by all this and set back generations. But I think there was just some stuff in there that Caesar didn't want anyone to see. Probably porn. Like really embarrassing porn. And he was like, oh my god, no! The library is burning! Oh, damn, guys. What a shame. Anyway, what's going on over here? Did you know there's a little Alexandria in Turkey? Wow. So whether it was Julie's crazy kink or a load of knowledge that some people didn't want the world to know about, I don't know. I think it was deliberate. But that is just one little podcaster's opinion, isn't it? And we all know how seriously to take podcasters' opinions with a fistful of salt. I hope you're doing well, by the way. I haven't said that yet. I've just realized. I'm sorry. I hope you're doing well. And I hope things are going okay, your end. And if they are not, I hope they are very soon. I really do. And next is Bird. Bird. The bird is the word. Seeing the word bird in my head, I've always wondered why it's spelt with an I and not a U. Same with word. Just chuck a U in, guys. Is that English language doing its crazy thing again? Well, actually, is it language or is it literacy? I'm not sure. It's strange. That's all we need to know. A friend of mine's mum introduced my friend, who subsequently introduced me, to this very cool app that you download, as you do with most apps, and it's called Merlin, and you take it outside into your garden or into the woods or anywhere you like, really, where you can hear birds. And what it does is it uses your phone's microphone to listen to the bird song that's going on around you, and it'll tell you exactly what birds are hanging out around you, which I think is really cool. I don't know if that means I'm getting older, but I'm okay with it either way. It seems like a really cool idea. What if you recorded it and it was all like, oh, you have a blackbird, you have a chaffinch, a robin, and an Egyptian death bird. An Egyptian death bird. Should I go inside? It is advised that you seek shelter immediately. I'm not gonna ruin the magic of this podcast too much, but sometimes I screw up and I don't always leave it in. If I screw it up really badly, and the sentence, it is advised that you seek shelter immediately, is a very difficult sentence to say, it turns out. Try it now. It is advised that you seek shelter immediately. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm being an idiot. This thing's like a Pokedex. That's what I'm thinking of. It's like a Pokedex for birds. Are you one of the people still playing Pokemon Go? And when I say that in the least judgmental way possible. I have friends that are still playing it, and it's nice, you know. It's like a nice little side part of their life. Makes walks a little bit more fun. What a fun summer that was. 2016 was it, man. Everything just became okay for a little while. Everyone was a little happier. Well, summer 2016 anyway. It's good times. Good times. I've never had a bird poop on my head. I have had one poop on my shoulder. Only once, though. Many, many times on the vehicles that I've had in my life, but only once on my shoulder. Now, is it actually supposed to be good luck if a bird poops on your hand? There is... Oh my god, this website has loads of bird superstitions. Hang on. Okay, so yes, a bird pooping on your head is supposed to bring good luck, according to this superstition that originated in Russia. It's supposed to be lucky because it's rare. Is that a good enough reason? Does that mean if someone throws a sausage roll at my head in the middle of the street, it's actually good, a sign of good fortune because it's rare? I might try that as a social experiment. Just throw a Greg sausage roll at someone's head. And when they get annoyed, do the whole, bro, it's just a social experiment. It's just a social experiment, bro. I annoyed myself saying that sentence. It's just a social experiment, man. Do you feel lucky? Are you feeling lucky? That'll get me punched in the face real quick, I think. I think there's so much with these online pranksters and people who are just dickheads under the guise of social experiments. How do they not get punched more? I suppose they're all staged, aren't they? Well, most of them. I don't like them. I like the nice, harmless ones. Like, it's fun to get pranked and it's fun to prank people, but only if it's, you know, if in reality it's kind of harmless. But, you know, what they do kind of goes against my whole mantra of, you know, as long as you're not harming yourself or anyone else, then you do you. But these people are, and they're getting kicks out of making people very uncomfortable, or they get kicks out of the views that they get from it, which makes them okay with doing that to people in the first place, which is equally as bad. And even if it's all staged, it's setting a really, really bad example because no one knows it's staged. Or like the kids that are growing up watching it don't know it's staged and they'll start doing similar things just because. I'm going on a rant now. I'm sorry. Just really don't like those people. Anyway, more superstitions. Following the popular nursery rhyme, One for Sorrow, it is believed that magpies are the messengers of the future. One for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy, five for silver, six for gold, seven for a secret, never to be told. If you see a magpie alone, be sure to greet it by tipping your hat or saying, "Hello, Mr. Magpie." This sign of respect should stop him passing on any bad fortune to you. I don't believe this anymore because magpies are dicks. So I'm not going to believe anything they do or say because they're assholes. We don't need negative animals around, thanks. I stopped doing that because I saw multiple times I've witnessed firsthand magpies bullying other birds and like... You are the bad fortune, bro. Don't be sticking this out into the universe. It's you. You're a dick. According to superstition, birds in general are thought to be messengers, delivering both good and bad news from this world and the next. If a bird happens to fly into your house, this means change. This could mean change is on the way. A white bird represents good change. However, a black colored bird flying in the house could be a sign of an impending death. So I had a chaffinch fly into my house and they're brown. So what the hell does that mean? Something good is going to happen and I'm going to screw it up? Great. Awesome. A bird tapping the window is a sign of a loved one trying to get in touch In ancient times, birds were believed to be religious messengers, connecting man with God and flying across the heavens. So make sure you're watching out for birds persistently tapping at your windows. This could be a loved one in heaven trying to get in contact with you. Have you ever had that? Not necessarily just with birds, but I've made some eye contact with some animals, dude, where I'm like, I know you, and you know me. We've met before in some way. Like, you're a cat, I know, I'm aware of this, but we've had a conversation before. Is that just me? Did I just watch too much Wild Thornberrys as a kid? Was that it? It was probably that, wasn't it? It was probably that. Let's move on. We're going to move on to smell, because it does smell like up dog in here, doesn't it? Not much, man. What's up with you? I put a lot of faith into hoping that at least one of you said, "What's up, dog?" Even if you were just committing to the bit, I respect you for it if you did do that. I will never know, but that's what faith is, right? Just like, yeah, probably. That's that kind of mindset. Anyway, speaking of smelling things, it's a weird thing that with that sense specifically, we don't ever bring attention to the absence of it when it occurs. Like with our eyes, when light is gone, we say, oh, it's really dark in here. And with hearing, when there's silence, we go, ah, finally, some peace and quiet. We never say, doesn't smell like anything in here, guys. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I'm going to try it just to see some reactions and see what happens. Also, in, you know, full disclosure, this was not my observation. I did see it on Twitter. Oh, Twitter, like bird. Oh, we're not on bird anymore, are we? Damn. Oh, so close. I was talking about bread smells earlier, wasn't I? It's all tying together, this podcast, isn't it? It's all bleeding, coming together. I'm trying to think of the nicest thing I've ever smelled and the worst thing I've ever smelled. What comes close to the worst was actually very recently. You know how I was saying Download Festival was really good? Well, my Saturday morning between 8 and 8:30 a.m. wasn't so good. Because I chose that time to go for my morning ablutions, as all humans have to do. But do you know who also chose this time? The toilet cleaners, with their big poo lorry. Standing in that queue, by that lorry, was an extreme mental battle. I could feel the fortitude of my brain and nose increase tenfold in that 30 minutes I was stood there. I also chose a toilet that was at an angle, so you can imagine how that went. Guys, I know it's not a great image, but everybody poops, okay? So get over it. But the best smelling thing I've ever smelled... rain. Petrichor. Petrichor, yeah, my favorite smell in the world, of course. The smell that is lifted from the ground after it's rained on concrete or grass. Jesus, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. I don't know why I like it so much. I think it's the smell of relief. Because it's usually the strongest when it's been really humid beforehand, and like that water pressure in the air, it feels really close, and then you can just feel the tension in the air and how badly it needs to break, and then it finally does. And that smell just makes every breath that you take in so much deeper after that release. Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. That, definitely. Do I have anything else for smell? Apparently humans can detect at least 1 trillion different smells. Wow, look at that. a trillion different smells, and I still couldn't smell my ex's bullshit. That's not true. I definitely smelt it, but it's a good line, right? Yeah. The last word is push. Push. So many songs, man. Push the button. Push it to the limit. Push me, and then just touch me till I can get my satisfaction. Satisfaction. Ah, push it. But push it real good. So, I know I seem to be bringing everything back to Download Festival in this podcast, but I miss it, okay? So deal with it, okay? It's very much at the forefront of my mind. Okay, now I can't speak for everyone, but from what I saw, the Download mosh pits I was in this year were some of the kindest, most caring, most positive mosh pits I've ever been in. I assume most people know what a mosh pit is, but if you don't, a mosh pit is a subsection of a crowd at a show or a festival where people use the space to essentially push each other around, jump and barge into each other, and all around just get physical. Often starting off as what is called a circle pit, where people just run around in a circle and then end up barging into each other. It's a wonderful time. And the reason I say it's a wonderful time is because, contrary to what it seems like on the outside, no one in these pits is actually trying to hurt anyone else. Chances are you're going to end up with some bruises or maybe a couple of cuts. That's just like an occupational hazard. But no one's purpose is to beat the shit out of anyone else. If there is anyone trying to do that, in my opinion, they need a different kind of help, because that's not what mosh pits are for. They're not violent in the way that they're intended to cause damage. I've always said, right, that everything inside us, everything going on inside us, is energy. And energy needs to be transferred in some way. It can't stay stagnant. It cannot stay stagnant. And it is up to every single one of us how that energy comes out, whether it is in a healthy, positive way or in a destructive, negative way. We all have stress and anger and pent-up stuff that needs to be released, some more than others. And for a lot of people, mosh pits are an amazing way to do that. Because I reckon when you jump into a mosh pit and you start pushing and shoving and propelling yourself into people, because there's an understanding, there's like I don't want to say global understanding, but there's a collective understanding of what a mosh pit is by everyone involved. The physical or kinetic energy that is expelled from you is absorbed by the person or people that you're shoving into, who then expel it from them onto the next person, and so on and so forth, in a healthy way, because it doesn't become a fight, because that's not the intention. There is 95% of the time, at least in alternative music mosh pits, a whole etiquette system that is unspoken and understood by everyone involved. The main point of that is that if someone goes down, because again, occupational hazard of, you know, running about and throwing yourself into people, if someone goes down, the only thing that matters is getting that person up again, because with everything going on, if someone's on the floor, they are going to get seriously hurt. And contrary to what it seems, most people in mosh pits don't want people to get hurt. Everyone is looking out for each other while bashing into each other. And I don't think there's anything like it. The pushing and pulling of a mosh pit is a very raw, primal experience, but with the added boundaries of more evolved mindsets that want to take care of each other. Cathartic is what I think they call it. And it was really wonderful to see those mindsets more alive than ever at Download this year. I saw more people of different genders, sizes, ages, everything getting involved this year. And, you know, whether you were 6'5", 65, 5'2", 22, big or small, you were accepted and you were looked after. And I think that's a wonderful way to view the world. Just don't go pushing people around in the street and you should be all right, but find the healthiest way for you to get out the energy that's in you that needs to come out. And with that, I am going to leave you. Thank you for sticking with me. I'm currently trying to find a new place to live, which is fun. So I'm trying to stay as regular as possible with all that going on. But thank you in advance if I'm a little bit all over the place. But you're wonderful, and I hope you are feeling a bit more chilled than you were when we started. And I will hopefully be talking less about festivals next time. I've gotten over it, maybe. But I hope you have a wonderful week. Please do take care of yourself. Please do be kind to yourself. And I'll see you in a bit. I'll speak to you very, very soon. Okay? All right. Have a good one. Bye.